Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this past week. Lord, what we saw you do. And Lord, it's nothing that we've done, that's for sure. But it's all because of you. And we want to praise you this morning and thank you, Lord, for enabling us to see your hand and your work done this past week. Thank you for those, Lord, that prayed, those that gave, those, Lord, that participated in any way. And God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for working through your people, Lord, to accomplish what you wanted done. Father, we come now to this time of the day, another Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday school time, we can be together. We ask you, Lord, now as we open your word, that you would meet with us. And God bless your people today for being here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 32 this morning, please. Psalm 32. This will be my last Sunday. Next Sunday, Lord willing, Brian will be here for the next quarter. But we look forward again to what God has for him, through him, for us. Psalm 32, we were talking about forgiveness, the power of forgiveness. Last week, we talked about Psalm 51, the prayer of forgiveness through David, as he prayed to God and asked God to forgive him of his sins, what he did. We saw that forgiveness is possible through David. Forgiveness is possible for anybody. I'm glad that God will forgive anybody of anything if we ask him to. It's possible. Forgiveness is possible. Also, we saw that forgiveness is available. It's available to us anytime, any place. Forgiveness is always available as far as God is concerned. And I'm glad for that. We also talked about how forgiveness is ongoing. It's not a one-time thing that we need to ask forgiveness. There are many times in our life that we need to continue to ask forgiveness. And it's going to be that way as long as we're in this flesh. Because this flesh is weak. This flesh does things it shouldn't do. Even as believers, it does. I'm thankful today to know that forgiveness is ongoing also. It's not just one time. So today we're going to look in Psalm 32. Psalm 32, as we focus on the power of forgiveness, today we're going to talk about the joy of forgiveness. Now, in essence, 51 should have been before 32 as far as what the text is concerned, but nevertheless, we see here, as David is writing in Psalm 32, he's writing, giving instructions from his standpoint, from a sinner that did wrong, who is now forgiven. He's giving instruction to us as people. I think to believers as well as unbelievers. That's what God can do, you know, when we humble ourselves and ask God to forgive us. So we're seeing this psalm here, tremendous saying here, how after David was forgiven, he had many years that were blessed to follow while he lived here on this earth. So we look today in verse number 1 of Psalm 32. Notice he said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. We see here in these first two verses, the happiness, if you please, of forgiveness. Being happy in forgiveness. Blessed means what? Happy. It means happy. David is saying here, happy is he whose transgression is forgiven. Happy is he whose transgression is forgiven. Transgression simply means willfully disobedient or rebellious. Willfully disobedient or rebellious is what transgression means here. So we see here, David is saying, the person that is forgiven, they're happy. They're happy because they have been forgiven. Now we see that sin is the cause of all our misery, is it not? Amen? Sin causes our misery in this world in which we live, in our body, in our flesh, in our soul, and whatever. So we see that sin is the cause of it. And we see here that David said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. And all of us as children of God can certainly say amen to that, because God has forgiven us of our sins, not just one time, but on a daily basis, practically, he does when we ask him to. And therefore, this is the only way to be happy in the Lord, is to realize when we do wrong and ask God to forgive us. So David is saying here that, first of all, that happy is a pardoned sinner. A pardoned sinner. Now, we notice in verse number 2. As we look at verse number 2, we see the character of a person whose sins are forgiven. The character of a person whose sins are forgiven. Notice he says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. That word guile means deceit, or maybe wrong talking. We see, blessed is that man. Now, the character of a person that has been forgiven. What is that character? First of all, a person that has been forgiven, he is sincere. He's sincere. God will forgive all sins of all people, but God only forgives all sin of all people who are sincere. God knows our hearts when we ask Him to forgive us. He knows whether we're sincere or whether we're not. So we see that God, the character of a person that's been forgiven is, first of all, he's sincere before God. He's sincere. If he's not sincere, God will not forgive. Secondly, we see the person that is forgiven, he has no intention of indulging in sin. In other words, you're sorry for your sins now, and you don't want to sin. A friend of mine was talking this past week about how when we got saved, how God changed us, and how the places I went before I got saved, after I got saved on Sunday morning on that following weekend, probably Friday or Saturday, I went back to that same place, and I didn't realize it until I got in there. God says, hey, you don't need to be in here now. You're saved. You're different now, you see. You're my child now. So a person that is forgiven, he doesn't indulge in sin. He doesn't keep on sinning, doing the same thing that he used to do before he got saved. This is the character of a person, you see. First of all, he's sincere to be saved. He does not indulge in sin. A person that's been forgiven. David is giving us that kind of instruction here. Also, we see the character of a person who sinned. We see he does not take the grace of God for granted. He does not take the grace of God for granted. We're saved by grace. That's the unmerited love of God through faith. We don't take it for granted. We take it sincerely. We're thankful for the grace of God that enables us to be forgiven in our sins in our life. Therefore, the person that's been forgiven, he does not abuse the grace of God or take for granted the grace of God. So these are some of the characteristics of a person that is saved. David is trying to instruct us here of that in verse number 2. We also see because of that, because of the character of that kind of person, we see God, David says, you're blessed is that man. In other words, that kind of individual will receive all manner of blessings is promised to them because of their lifestyle now, because of their living now. The promises of God, the blessings of God are upon that kind of individual. Blessed or happy is a person that has been forgiven of our sins. Thank God for that. It's not only a one-time thing, it's a daily thing. For all of us that know Christ as Savior, and for that person that's not saved, first of all, it's that first time of being saved. Okay, so we see here, first of all, the happiness of a pardoned sinner. Now, in verse number 3 through verse number 7, we see something else here. We see the misery before David got saved, before he confessed his sins, and then the comfort that followed after he asked God to forgive him. In other words, a person that, when we have sin in our lives, we're very miserable. But when we ask God to forgive us, then we are comforted. We're rejoicing because of what God's done for us. And here we see in these verses, he's trying to explain that to us. Look at verse number 3 and 4. First of all, David said this, when I kept silent, in other words, God, before I come to you, before I ask you to forgive me, when I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. In other words, I was miserable because I knew I had sinned, I knew I had done wrong, and I did not come before you, and I was miserable. My bones waxed old. They ached, literally, because I had sinned in my life, and I knew I did, and I hadn't asked you to forgive me. You know, I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit that lives within us as children of God reveals to us when we do wrong. We do wrong. And therefore, we have to ask God to forgive us and ask someone else to forgive us, whoever it may involve, the situation is, in order to get that comfort that we need and that we want from God. So we see here, David is trying to describe this misery here before, and then the comfort after he did this. It's very difficult for us today to bring a sinful man, no matter who they may be, to accept humbly the free love and free forgiveness that God has available to them. Isn't it strange how a lost person, if you get a chance to sit down and talk to them and try to take the scriptures and help them to see and understand that they are sinners and that they need to be saved, how that nature within that man resists that. He don't want any part with that. And then finally, it takes the grace of God and the Spirit of God to break that individual's heart and help them to see how much they really need to be saved and get saved. On the other hand, even as Christians, when we do wrong as a Christian, sometimes, you know, we just keep on doing wrong, and all of a sudden we realize, because now within us, we have our teacher. We have someone to instruct us and help us to see when that we're wrong and ask God to forgive us. So we see the misery before forgiveness and the comfort after we're forgiven of our sins because of this, because David is trying to reveal this to us. Now, look at verse number 4, Psalm 32. Verse number 4, "For day and night, David said, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer, Selah." In other words, I was just a very miserable person. The best way I know to describe it here. Day and night, God's hand was upon him. God was trying to convict him. God was convicting him of his sins and his wrongdoings and how he ought to do something about it. Now look at verse number 5. Verse number 5. After all this, day and night, misery in his life, David finally recognized what he needed to do. Notice what it says in verse 5. "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid," I said. In other words, he acknowledged the fact that he sinned against who? God. God. See, when we sin, even though I sin against somebody, I'm sinning also against God. Because God is the only one that can forgive me. A person or a situation can, but God is first, you see here. David said, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Aren't you glad I am that when I confess my sins to God, the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive me. Not only does the Bible say that, he does it. He does it. I'm so glad he does. Time and time again, I have to do this in my life because of the nature that I have. The only way to a peaceful conscience is confession of our sins. Confession of our sins. You see, we need to be forgiven. When we're saved, when we're forgiven, we're declared justified in the eyes of God. We're just as if we haven't sinned when we ask God to forgive us, you see. So we see this is the only way to peace. Now, look at verse number 6. "For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be" what? "Found." When thou mayest be found. In other words, God allows us to get to a point that we recognize that we have sinned, we've done wrong. God is not going to force us to confess, is he? He's not going to force us to do that. He didn't force you. He didn't make you or make me ask him to forgive me and save me. He got me to a point through his Spirit and the Word of God that I wanted to. And so I needed to. And the same thing with us even today in our lives, you see. God is going to help us. God is going to help us by his mercy and his grace to get us to that situation that we're going to recognize that we need. Hey, I need to get this right with God. I need to get this right with somebody else, you know. Forgiveness. We're talking about the power of forgiveness. We see again David's life and how God worked through him, even though he did some horrible things in his life. So have we. But God still forgives and God helps us, you see. We see a time of finding, a time of recognizing, hey, I got sin in my life. I need God to deal with it. I want to deal with God towards you. When the heart is softened, that's when God works. When the grief and burden with guilt, when heart is that situation, that's when God is working. When all human refuge fails, we try everything in the world, but yet it fails. Then we have to come to God. When no rest can be found to the troubled mind, then what do? We come to God, don't we? Aren't you glad we have a God that will still accept us even at that point in our life? When we try everything in the world, run, and finally, hey, God says, okay, son, this is enough. This is the time. I'm thankful that God loves us enough to do that. And then we find in verse number 7 how God applies healing. Verse number 7 says, thou art my hiding place. David said, talking to God, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt what? Preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Thank God for deliverance. Amen. Thank God for saving power, saving grace. And we can sing, you know, how God has forgiven us. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but what? The blood of Jesus, you see. I'm thankful for that deliverance he gives us in our lives as children of God. So we see here the happiness of a pardoned sinner. We talked about the misery before and the comfort following the confession of our sins. Now we look at verse number 8 through 11. We see how David instructs sinners and also he encourages believers. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8, he says, he's trying to instruct sinners. He says, I will instruct thee. After you've done this for me, you've forgiven me and give me a clean plate, so to speak, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held and in with a bit and a bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Don't be like the horse, has to be guided everywhere. You know, that's what he's saying. God, teach me thy word. I want to know your word, that I can follow your word. Your word will be the lamp to my light and a light to my feet. But God guides us by his will. God wants to guide us. God desires to guide us in our lives as children of God. In verse number 9, we see here that David cautions sinners. He cautions them. Beware. You know, don't be like a horse. Don't be that way. The way of sin will end in sorrow. It always has, always will. Sin brings sorrow in our lives when we have that come into our life. Now, in verse number 10 and verse number 11, we see here David is giving a word of comfort to saints. Notice he says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, I like these words, mercy shall compass him about. Mercy. The mercy of God shall compass him about. He says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart. We see here a word of comfort. When we commune with God, it's going to be pleasant and going to be comfortable. When we commune with God every day of our life. And we can rejoice because we know our sins are forgiven. And therefore we shall rejoice indeed. So we see here in this Psalm 32, the happiness of a pardoned sinner. We also see the misery before and the comfort after their pardon. We also see here how David is giving sinners instructions in how to live and believers to be encouraged. David said, God forgave me, God helped me, and God can help and God will help you. God will help you. You know, that's the joy in trying to talk to people about the Lord. As a born-again child of God, you know what God has done for you, don't you? I know what God's done for me. And if God will do what I've done by just simply asking God to forgive them, sincerely ask God to forgive them of their sins, he'll do it, just like he did me. God loves everybody, and God wants everybody to be saved. We're talking about the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. Now, forgiveness, folks, first of all, Forgiveness is a decision. Just like you made a choice, I made a choice to get saved. You know? I mean, I had to recognize and I wanted to be saved. I made a choice to ask Christ to forgive me and come into my heart. That's the only reason, that's why I'm saved. Because I made a choice. Now, God was willing, God's always willing, but until I make that choice, He's not going to do it. But once I do, He will. He will. Forgiveness is similar. Forgiveness is a decision to let go of some things, such as resentment, such as having the thoughts of revenge. That's forgiveness. Letting go of resentment, letting go, you know, the thoughts of revenge and all these things. Forgiveness brings feelings of understanding and compassion to us when we forgive. God had compassion upon me to forgive me. Amen? God has compassion upon everybody. Love. And as born-again children of God, when things come in our life, we need that compassion and, you know, to forgive also, you see. Forgiveness doesn't mean we're going to deny what's happened because it's there. It's obvious, okay? But everything we understand that God's going to take care of it for us. Forgiveness brings peace to us. Peace to us. Whenever there's unforgiveness in my heart against any situation in my life, I'm not happy. Are you? You're not happy. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be like David was. But when I forgive, then that resentment leaves. That peace comes into my heart, you see. It comes into my heart and helps me with my life to go on. I want to live a peaceful life, don't you? I want to live a happy life. I can't have unforgiveness in me and do that. It won't work. No Christian can. Not only that, there's other reasons for forgiveness. Forgiveness can help us in many ways. First of all, it can lead to a better relationship. Amen? A better relationship with people, even ourselves. It helps us with our relationship. Forgiveness gives us a greater spiritual well-being, acknowledging, you know, that we need God. We need Him every day, every moment, every day. Therefore, our spiritual life is better when we learn to forgive. Forgiving helps us do this. But also, when we forgive, we have less anxiety, less stress in our life, less hostility in our life. There's nothing more unhealthy, if you please, than stress in our life. Amen? Stress will bring you down. Stress will destroy you. And sometimes it's because we are not forgiving. We're not forgiving for whatever the circumstance may be in our life. It can bring depression. It can bring all kinds of things when we do not forgive. We're trying to emphasize the power of forgiveness in our life. We see it in David's life. What happened to him? And how God, after his confession of sin, look what God used David to do. And David was even the man after God's own heart. The Bible tells us that. We also see forgiveness can lead to even lower blood pressure. Lower blood pressure. It's been a proven fact. That if our blood pressure is high, maybe because we're stressed out for some reason, we don't know what's going on. But forgiveness can help our blood pressure even to be lower. See, things build up in us. I have this house of flesh that's very wicked and not godly at all. And I have to really, as Paul says, I had to bring it into subjection every day. If I don't, I can get in trouble. This thing about being of forgiving and forgiveness is so important. It can lead up to lower blood pressure. It also can build your immune system. It'll build up your immune system to fight diseases and things that's going on in your body. Forgiveness. You see the power of forgiveness? How this is something God enables us to all have to help us, not only spiritually but also physically. In our lives, when we get this thing taken care of with God, it's just forgiveness brings better heart health. Our hearts are better. when we have forgiveness, a forgiving attitude, a forgiving spirit within us. Forgiveness is a commitment of change. It's a commitment of change. I want to change. You get to a point, hey, I'm just down in it. I'm like David. My bones are aching. Things are going on in my body, in my mind, my soul that I don't like. I give to that point in my life, and God, through His mercy, speaks to me and helps me to see and realize, hey, maybe that's something you need to ask for forgiveness for. Ask me, ask somebody else. I don't know. I know this thing about forgiveness is powerful. It's powerful to the believer, to the children of God today. But it's a commitment to a process of change. When we look at the value of forgiveness, what does it do for us? And then we look at the importance of our life while we live here. Isn't it worth our time to ask forgiveness to have a better life? Isn't it? It is. Not let these things harbor up and give us resentment and revenge and all these things in our life. Folks, we all deal with these kinds of things. We all do. If it's not daily, it's at least once in a while it happens to us all. But I'm trying to say here that we need to consider these things. We need to reflect on the facts of the situation. Because of what's happened to me, how did I react? Did I react like I should? Preacher talks about being by acting or reacting. You know, we need to be careful, not on an impulsive thing, respond to something that's taken place in our life. He said, because it can damage us, you know. Forgiveness, it releases the control and the power of a situation in our life. You realize, and I realize too, there are situations in our life sometimes that control us. Amen? They control us. And we resent the fact that it's in my life. I don't like it. I don't want it. And we resent even sometimes the fact that God allowed it to be in our life for whatever reason. But thank God, whenever we come to the point, the realization that God is in control of everything in my life. And no matter what I'm going through right now in my life, God is trying to instruct me. God is trying to teach me. God is trying to mold me and to conform me into the image of His Son. Everything in my life. That God will help us then to be able to have the heart to ask for forgiveness and live our life the way God wants us to live. The power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. I know I'm a human being just like you are. Forgiveness is very challenging. It's very challenging. The flesh don't want to do it. The flesh don't want to do it. We need to reflect back sometimes on the people and things that people have forgiven us for, to enable us maybe to forgive also. We also see that forgiveness is a process. It's a process. It's not something that's going to instantly happen. It's a process that takes place through the working of God, through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you see. In other words, just getting somebody else to change their behavior or their words towards me, that isn't what forgiveness is, folks. It's not about them. It's about me. It's about me. That's what forgiveness is, you see. Getting another person. Forgiveness. We need to think of forgiveness more about how it can change me rather than my situation or the person or whatever's involved with this situation. See, when God changes me, then I'm going to have the heart to forgive whatever, amen, or whoever in my life that's taking place. The situation that I'm dealing with in my life, I don't understand it. You know, it's hard to go through this. But with God's help, we're going to make it, folks. Paul says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all you need. Amen? He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It ain't about me, it's about God in me. And God wants to work through me, and God wants to work in me. We need to think about forgiveness as how it's going to change my life when I get to that point and forgive. It's going to change my life. If you're in misery, if you're in discomfort today, and I am, we want to change, don't we? Amen? And the only way to change is to learn to forgive. And we learn to forgive by forgiving. How do we learn anything? By doing it. Amen? Learning is by doing. That's the old, used to be FFA motto. Learning by doing. And that is so true. That is so true. When we forgive, it brings peace. It brings happiness. It brings emotional and spiritual healing. When we learn to forgive. When we learn to forgive. And God help us to be that way today. Now, what I'm saying, first of all, here, remember, we need to remember three things in closing about forgiveness today. First of all, I cannot force anybody to forgive me. You cannot force anybody to forgive you. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If they do, or if I do, it's not genuine. It's not going to be genuine. So first of all, you can't force someone to forgive you. And I can't force someone to forgive me. Secondly, others need that time for God to work in them to get to that point that they can forgive. Okay? And I'm the same way. If I owe you forgiveness, pray for me that God will work in me and give me that time and that understanding that I need to forgive you. If you'll do that, God will do that, see. It's amazing to me what God can do. He knows all about us, every one, our minds, our soul, our heart, everything about us. And He knows how to work in us to bring out glory to Him. Glory to Him, you see. So it takes time. It takes time for God. God does use time to work in all of us to get us to that point that we're willing to forgive. And we have a desire to forgive in our lives. And whatever the outcome is, we need to remember this. We need to commit the treating of that situation or that individual. We need to treat it with compassion and respect. Whatever the situation may be, whatever how it works out, we need to have compassion on it, and we need to treat it with respect. This is what God's plan is for me. I'm so glad today to know that God wants to be in charge of our lives. Aren't you? He wants to be. And my prayer is that I will allow God to be in charge of my life. And when God is in charge of my life, I'm going to see sometimes in my life when things come up, I'm going to see what the power of forgiveness can do. The power of forgiveness, folks, is a powerful thing. It'll help all of us. I said a couple weeks ago, but it was, God wants His forgiven people to be who? Forgivers. God wants His forgiven people to be forgivers. Only God can help us, folks. Only God can make us what He wants us to be. And it's my prayer that we all have that desire. Father, we thank You for loving us. We thank You, Lord, for forgiving us. Lord, without Your forgiveness, we wouldn't even be here today. Lord, I just pray, God, as we've looked at David and his life and some things You've done in him and through him, and God, even how he was a sinful man, Lord, You forgave him. And God, You continue to use him, Lord, in Your work. God, I pray, God, You would help us, Lord, as Your children, Lord, to realize sometimes in life when we face things we don't know how to deal with, how to handle, God, that we need to lean on You and trust Your word. And Lord, to realize what You've done for us, You want us to do the others. Father, have Your will and way in our hearts and lives. Bless the service we're about to go into. Lord, may You be honored. May You be glorified. May some soul be saved today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.